name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have in Galatians, St. Paul was giving to those in that district of Asia Minor, which is modern-day the country of Turkey, but he was giving them a correction. As a matter of fact, you might even call the whole epistle to the Galatians the epistle of correction. St. Paul doesn't start off his epistle as warmly as he does the others. And what happened in Galatia, this area, it's not just a city like Corinth or Rome. It was an area, more like a state, like you say, the state of Washington or the state of Idaho. So he's writing to them. They had accepted the gospel, but then they began to fall away. And they began to misinterpret what had been told to them. So St. Paul feels it incumbent to issue this letter of not just instruction, but correcting. He even says, "What has bewitched you, O Galatians, that you should be falling away?" And he uses a very powerful statement in the first chapter. He says, if anybody preaches another gospel, even if it's me, let him be anathema. So there it is. The true gospel, once it's been preached, if anybody comes along and preaches a false gospel, and in our times, I think of the false gospel of Vatican II, we have to say anathema to it. Why? Because St. Paul makes it very clear that the truth does not allow us to accept a false version of the gospel. Even if the same person, and unfortunately this happened. I remember one man telling me what his priest said to him, was said to the whole parish after Vatican II. He said, basically said, you're going to have to, we learned it wrong. We knew we're going to have to learn new things. He should have been told anathema. They were also beginning to reincorporate parts of the Jewish customs and Jewish laws, and St. Paul made it very clear, you do not have to follow the Jewish law, the Mosaic law. This is the new covenant. Now, of course, there are morals that never change, like the Ten Commandments. He was talking about the ritualistic ceremonial laws. They no longer apply. So that was the problem with the Galatians. There were also factions and divisions and fights among them. You see, when you stray away from the truth, there are going to be more conflicts among people, because they're not agreeing on matters of faith and morals. So I just wanted to tell you all of this to help set the scene, so to speak, for today's extract from the fifth chapter. And St. Paul reminds them that we are living in a state of internal conflict. Why? Because we have a fallen human nature. One of the great gifts God gave to Adam and Eve was that they had no conflict. The body did exactly whatever the mind said, with no conflict, no arguing, no strife. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could also have that? No conflict, no temptation. The body follows the mind perfectly. But that gift was obviously lost with original sin. And although sanctifying grace was restored, the greatest gift of all, we did not get back. Adam and Eve, nor any of their children, except for the Blessed Mother, because she never had original sin, we have that conflict within us now. The, as St. Paul puts it, the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit is the soul. And the soul against the flesh. It's the daily struggle to be faithful to God, to overcome temptation, to conquer sin. Now, St. Paul groups, he lists a good number of sins. Looks like about 12 to 15 of them. But you can, we can summarize them in four main categories. The sins against the sixth commandment, the sins of false worship, which are against the first commandment, and then there are sins against charity, and also sins of intemperance. And St. Paul goes on to say, and concerning these, I warn you as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. You will go to hell. You will miss out on eternal reward and be in the eternal punishment of the fires of hell. We need this motivation, my dear brethren. It should not be our main motivation. Our main motivation should be the love of God, but we must never lose that healthy fear of going to hell for all eternity. The greatest punishment of hell is the separation from God, because the soul was made from God. But because we do not understand that as fully as we should, our Lord reminds us also, and he spoke of hell himself, of the eternal fire. Fire is so painful. We know that even a small burn can hurt a great deal. What about being in fire for all eternity? And it doesn't take a lot of mortal sins to get there. Only one unrepentant mortal sin, if a person dies in that state, he will be in that eternal fire. We need to preach this. We need to meditate on it, because in the world today, there's this attitude of everybody's going to heaven. And yet, the world is more sinful today than I believe at any other time in history. That's how far things have gone. It's not just the people are sinning, they've lost the sense of sin, how bad it really is, that there are sins that will keep you out of heaven for all eternity. St. Paul had to say this, I have warned you, they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. Immorality, St. Paul is talking about impure actions, any actions of fornication, adultery, and so forth. And then any other sins against the sixth commandment. And licentiousness is the shamelessness of sin, where a person sins against the sixth commandment shamelessly. And we see that, unfortunately, all around us. Sin is glorified. Sin is institutionalized. How sad that the rainbow, God's own symbol for hope and pledge that he would never punish the world again by a flood, he would not inundate the whole world, that has become the symbol of institutionalized perversion and sin. So we have to preach this gospel, an anathema to anyone who preaches another one. Those are, again, not my words, but the words of St. Paul. He says, and even if I were to do it, it would be anathema to me. Idolatry, witchcrafts. As we know, these are very grave sins against the first commandment, putting, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. You must worship the true God, not some man-made image. And there's a lot of idols today. They're not necessarily made man images before which people bow and put the pinch of incense. Although, I mean, one of the most shocking things I've ever seen in my life was the Pachamama idol venerated in St. Peter's Basilica this past October or November. That's how bad the Vatican II Church is. Witchcrafts, you know, trying to invoke the power of the demon, black magic. It's one of the big problems with the Harry Potter series of books, the witchcraft that permeates that whole series. Again, serious sins against the first commandment. St. Paul goes on to say, or to list all this in the third category, all these sins against charity. Now, some of these can be, because of smallness of matter, they can be venial sins. In the first two categories of their nature, those are serious sins. But enmities, contentions, as we can see, these can rise to the level of mortal sin. We see, you know, these tremendous hatreds or fightings, anger, quarrels, factions, parties. Then by this we mean, you know, like one party against another party, not a birthday party, obviously. But these can rise to the level of seriousness, and we see it going on today. You know, the rioting's going on in some of our cities. By the way, it reminds me of something Father James told me, that beginning today would be an opportunity for you to pray the 54-day novena, 27 days, rosary novena, 27 days in petition, 27 days in thanksgiving, and it would end the day before the elections. And boy, do we need an absolute army of rosary prayers, people praying the rosary. And I would counsel even 15 decades when you can, and add fasting to it to bring down God's blessing, because again, we're seeing this hatred, these contentions, this fighting, this, and of course it's being fed by the, you know, those behind the scene, the globalists that want to help precipitate, you know, the downfall of our country. I mean, I that's my opinion, but it's shared by many. So we need the grace of God, because this third category, again, of conflict in a serious degree is going on. And finally, the fourth category, intemperance, drunkenness, and carousings. You know, drunkenness makes a person not even a human. It brings them to the point where they don't even know who he or she is, and it's such a degradation. And, if you know, to drink, so that's the problem, the danger of alcohol. It's not evil in itself, but it can be easily abused. So we're given these words on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost to remind us that we have to overcome the works of the flesh. And there will be great spiritual growth in doing so. Just going back to the third category of sins against charity, again, charity is so transformative. Love is more powerful than hate. Charity is absolutely transformative. And our Lord tells us to return hate with love. And it's amazing how powerful that is. True charity. We had the gospel of Good Samaritan. Wonderful gospel on charity, I believe two Sundays ago. And how that changes things. So to wrap up, I would just like to say regarding the gospel, what a powerful gospel to help us through these anxious times. Our Lord doesn't mean that we should sit back and expect God to give us everything. Of course not. God helps those who help themselves. But, and I'm preaching to myself here, about not having that overmuch worry and anxiety. So easy to do. Why, O ye of little faith? Our Lord tells us how the Father provides for the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Therefore, do not be anxious. And our Lord saying, again, this doesn't mean sitting back and doing nothing insofar as preparing, you know, having a supply of food, shelter, clothing, etc. Obviously, we have to do that. But too much of that is offensive of that anxiety and worry is offensive to God, because then we're not putting our trust in Him. For all, after all these things the Gentiles seek, your Father knows you need all these things. And what do we do then? What do we do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all these things shall be given to you besides. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.